Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee kerup, guten tag, ciao, weevi, va, katbang, half a day, jai, janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan. From the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated, McNugget pharmaceutical kill, vivisection prison, kilitary industrial, core poor nation. In the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster bankrupt, corruptocracy, mockracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the USA, home of Uncle Sam Manila. Where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Okay, I have to apologize to Daisy that I have to stop the tummy rub right now, sweetie. The rescue chihuahua, she understands that we're attempting to save animals, so she does her part, and now, you know, allows me to pay attention to the show and not the tummy rub for the next 2 hours. So sorry, baby. But, well, there, that's Daisy's sacrifice to help you, you know, go vegan. Maybe go vegan for Daisy, would you? So many reasons to go vegan. Well, this is the last weekend in January, and it was the last weekend in January of 2001 when this program debuted on KRLA in Los Angeles, after I was promoting a vegan event that I organized there, World Fest. The producer there at KRLA said, "Hey, you have a background in animal rights and broadcasting. Shouldn't you be doing a vegan radio program?" So I thought that was a nice idea for a couple of weeks. But now, you know, that was 2001, so what would that make this? This, what number anniversary of this show? That's, well, is my triskaidekaphobia showing? Huh? You know how the elevator goes from the 12th floor to the 14th floor? I mean, and sorry, if you're on the 14th floor of a building that goes from 12 to 14, hate to break the news to you, but you're on the 13th floor. I mean, I just can't call this the, I can't skip ahead like the elevator does. I can't just call this the 14th anniversary of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Have to wait for that. Or the 12th anniversary, part two. I guess I can use dog years, right? On this, the 91st anniversary of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden in dog years. And just to really impress you, I now personally celebrate, in dog years, 210 years of being vegan. I don't know. Those numbers sound a bit too mature for me. I've always been immature for my age. So I think 13-year-old adolescent sounds about right, to tell you the truth. I mean, I got all excited about using the S word this week, the forbidden S word. See, well, that's why CBS and Clear Channel radio stations and different radio networks, you know, like Air America, felt safe allowing me to do a vegan radio show, which, I mean, could be threatening in itself. But they knew I had been a radio program director around the country, you know, running stations like Jazzy 100 in Washington, D.C., CD 101 in New York, Love 94 Miami, KIFM San Diego, The Sound in Seattle, Z92 in Omaha. Ownership knew that I would never violate the most sacred rule in broadcasting. I would never say, you know, the F word. I would never say the S word. Even we knew when we were in the studio, we were afraid that the mic could accidentally be on. That's, you know, so. But I did get all excited this week because I used the S word. I did on Twitter, at Go Vegan Radio. But I mean, it had to happen. I mean, not so much in music radio, you know, but I mean, if you host a vegan radio show, eventually you come to realize that meat is just covered with the S word. You know, every E. coli outbreak is really, you know, from S word contamination. Animal S word is contaminating our water, you know, creating horrible environmental, destroying lagoons. Even chicken S word is fed to cows. But in my tweet, I asked people why they weren't grossed out by eating eggs from chickens when, in a sense, you know, the eggs come out of a chicken's S-word hole, you know, one hole, two secretions, eggs, and S-word. Then I had remorse. You know, I have children listening to this show, and I do have an image to, you know, to destroy, you know. So how adolescent for me to use the S-word on Twitter. So on Facebook, I changed it. You know, I changed that post, and I used the C-word. No, not that C word. I changed the anatomical reference from S hole to crap hole. Is that so terrible? You know, just a little tribute to Thomas Crapper, the London plumber who founded Thomas Crapper and Company in England, providing lavatory equipment to a world that is, you know, just full of I don't know what we would call it if not for Thomas Crapper's company there, huh? But then, of course, a Facebook friend was offended that I showed disrespect for anatomical entities. And, you know, I am very sensitive to the isms, you know, and would never want to be guilty of, you know, racism, sexism, speciesism, ageism, you know. So to avoid being accused of perhaps defecationism or being a feces-ist, I now apologize to all anal pores and chicken cloacas. It is not an asshole. It is a cloaca. Kind of a combination anal pore and vagina. Oh, I said the V word. I said the V word. Oh, 13-year-old adolescent, I said the V word. Well, that shouldn't be a surprise. I say the V word all the time at Ringling Brothers protests, since elephants are trained by electric shocks to the vagina. Mommy, what's a vagina? Oh, the kids love me at the circus protests. Mommy, what's a vagina? And why are you taking me to a show that hurts animals? I love animals. But what's a vagina? Anyway. So anyway, eggs come out of a chicken's cloaca, and so does poop. Almost sounds, you know, like a natural incubator for salmonella, huh? But anyway, and you know, tell you the truth, maybe I am a defecationist. Maybe I am guilty of fecesism, because I do want poop segregated, you know, as far away from food as possible. You know, yet for egg eaters, well, you know, they're like brother and sister, you know, kind of like vegetarianism. And then it seems like the people who eat fecal-covered foods are the ones who have the most difficulty pooping. 13 years of doing this show, having some of the world's greatest medical professionals on air, citing some of the most important scientific studies, and some listeners still think that my greatest achievement was the slug line, "Vegans are number one at number two." Basically summarizing, one important study that shows that, well, vegans have far more than just moral fiber. Vegans are number one at number two. Is that what I want to be known for creating? I'm fine with, you know, whatever reason you may have to go vegan. I mean, you know, but I say, find me a constipated vegan, huh? Find me a constipated vegan right now. Come on, come on. No, you can't do it because they're all in the restroom, you know? And forgive me, I didn't mean to gross you out with all my poopy talk. But we do turn 13 today. I mean, I could have easily, you know, gotten gross just talking about so-called meat, even without the poop. You know, as if you can remove one from the other. But right now, look at this. A meat recall stemming from a USDA raid of a Bay Area slaughterhouse previously raided by the ALF, the Animal Liberation Front, with at least three reports of arson. Well, this time the raid came from U.S. Department of Agriculture officials who said that the animals at Rancho Feeding Corporation, or Rancho Veal Slaughterhouse, were not examined, were not inspected before being killed. I asked my my good friend, the former USDA inspector, Lester Friedlander, DVM, about this, and he said, well, that's the most important time when in the inspection process is when animals are still alive, and yet they seem to escape this process, and so did 41,000 pounds of so-called beef. And Lester Friedlander will be on this program next week to talk about this and the ramifications of it. See, we're too trusting. We trust these people who kill animals for profit to live up to regulations. You know, we trust them to do kind things for animals in the future, right? So Rancho Feeding Corporation, Rancho Veal, is reported to kill 200 cows daily. It now also kills pigs for profit, and 41,000 pounds of beef were recalled. And look, you have beef carcasses, and now why would poop gross you out? If this is what people eat, being recalled are boxes of beef feet, beef oxtail, beef hearts, beef liver, beef cheeks, beef tripe, beef tongue. Huh? I mean, every bite an X Factor program, right? I mean, in animal killers we trust. who eats this, huh? Do you feed this to your children? Beef cheeks? Anyway, oh, what a program we have coming up for you today. The Barbie Twins. We have Simone Reyes live from Taiji at the Dolphin Slaughter Site. Ian McDonald, who's starting a vegan radio program in London that will be on British Public Radio tomorrow. Melissa Bray, nutrition and fitness instructor. And animal rights commentary with Professor Gary Francione coming up on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com on Twitter at GoVeganRadio. Hope I didn't gross you out too much. Yes, I do. If that's what gets you to go vegan, fine with me. Huh? We were talking a little earlier about that slaughterhouse with the 41,000 pounds of beef recalled. That's in Petaluma, the last slaughterhouse in the Bay Area. Sending out those beef cheeks, and the beef feet, kind of gross, right? So you don't want to – kind of grossed out by that. You want to go vegan. What do you eat? Well, you can have your food delivered to your home or office from Greenlight Meals. It's easier than ever. Right to your door. The website is greenlightmeals.com, greenlightmeals.com. And, it's just an amazing menu that you see there. Breakfast choices, including everything from tofu scramble, breakfast burritos, banana walnut pancakes, Cinnabon, oatmeal, and lots more. You have entrees that include chipotle falafel with sweet potato burrito, baked bean and veggie chili, and tofu fritters, and hot peppers and relish, root vegetable soup, lentil soup, stuffed peppers. So much going on there. You have barbecue chicken and buffalo cauliflower. It's just check out the menu at greenlightmeals.com, desserts, snacks, etc. And if you get involved and do it the right way, you can be consulted by the Greenlight Meals fitness and nutrition consultant, Melissa Bray, who is a certified personal trainer and nutritionist with a culinary arts degree from Johnson & Wales University. She's been on our program throughout January today again to help us with our New Year's resolutions through the month of January. How are you today, Melissa?
I'm doing this great. How about you, Bob?
Terrific. Doing fine. Yeah. So, yeah. So, I know that you had some more nutrition tips for us, but today we might also move toward fitness and cardio.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm going to touch on some fitness tips as well and kind of continue talking about some weight loss tips from last week. It seems like you can never get enough of those, and I know we think we know what we should do, but it's always good to get a little friendly reminder, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, last week, I'm just going to summarize real quick what I was talking about last week. I had said that you should eat every 3 waking hours of the day, small amounts of healthy fats at each meal, plan your meals in advance, drink a lot of water each day, aim for at least 80 ounces, avoid and limit all flour, sugar, and processed foods as much as possible. Avoid starchy carbs as your last meal of the day. And if you do fall off the wagon or have a cheat meal, don't feel guilty because that causes stress, and stress releases cortisol, and cortisol stores fat. So that's kind of what I hit on last week, but I wanted to touch on a few new ones. It's very important that if we've formed a bad habit, if we've gained some weight, if we've gained some fat, that's usually a result of some bad habits. We sat on the sofa one too many nights with a bag of popcorn or whatever. But I often see that people have that bad habit and they just try and take it out without replacing it with something new. And that's an unrealistic goal to set for yourself. You've formed this bad habit. You're still going to have that chunk of time when you're trying to get healthy, but you're not quite there yet. But you have to find somewhere to put your stress. So if you used to sit on the sofa with a bag of chips or whatever that caused you to gain weight, you have to replace it with a new good habit. One of my favorites is to get really fun herbal teas. I get all different flavors from my health food store, and instead of turning towards food late at night, I just brew a fun cup of hot tea. I like to even do the holiday ones like gingerbread and chai and eggnog and autumn harvest because it makes me feel cozy. So I like to turn towards those. Some people like to take a hot bath, call a friend, watch your favorite movie. But plan on doing something instead of just taking out that bad habit. Also, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but try to include more vegan proteins in your diet. Tempeh, organic high-protein tofu, brown rice protein. Again, we're usually taking away a lot of excess carbohydrates, but you can't just take those away without replacing it with something.
Melissa, we need to take a break, so stay with us. We'll spend a few more minutes with you after the break, and also Ian McDonald coming up from the Vegan Option Radio Show, the Barbie Twins, Simone Reyes, Gary Francione on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Hey, donate. Click donate at goveganradio.com. Support the program. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and a couple of Bob Linden Facebook pages, usually maxed out, but sometimes you can get in there if I get somebody upset and they decide not to be my friend anymore. My friend Melissa Bray is on the line with us. She's a nutrition and fitness consultant with Greenlight Meals, which is a home or office delivery service wherever you are in the U.S. No excuse now not to go vegan because the food comes right to your door. The website is greenlightmeals.com, green L-I-T-E meals.com. And So, Melissa, you were, I think, were you about to go into the exercise cardio tips or?
Yes, Bob. We were, before the commercial break, I was just finishing up the nutrition tips, and I was talking about the importance of including more protein in your diet, but I think I did get that point across to replace those carb calories we're getting rid of with some high protein, like brown rice, high protein tofu, tempeh. There's many, many different vegan proteins out there, and we could even help you out on our website. We have protein smoothies. We have protein cookies. So visit Greenlight Meals, and you have some nice high-protein snacks on there. And I wanted to delve a little bit into workouts this time around. Some of your listeners who are been in the gym a few times may have heard the term HIIT training, high-intensity interval training, and there's a common question in the fitness business that do I do HIIT interval training or do I do the long, slow burn cardios? I trained with some great trainers before I became a trainer in 2007, and I was always taught that one of the most effective things is those long, slow burn cardios when you have a lot of fat to lose. And then as you get closer to your goal, bring in the high intensity interval training. And what that is that you just throw in bursts of intervals. There's a lot of different ones, but it's basically two different methods to train. Is the long slow burns, Bob, like if you go on a long walk or if you're on the treadmill for a long length of time, keeping your heart rate at a steady medium pace. And there's also the interval training where you throw in intervals every 10 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever and go full throttle, get your heart rate way up. Both are very good methods. It's good to mix it up. What I like to do when I have clients is have them start out low. So have them start out with 20 minutes of some cardio 5 to 6 days a week and then taper up from there. Start with 20 minutes, then go up to 25, 30, 35. That way your body never adapts to what you're doing and your body keeps shedding fat for you. And that's one of my favorite ways to train. We've got some, I can help people with strength training on Greenlight Meals. We even have a gym section. I've been doing this for a long time. I was on the cover of Vegan Health and Fitness Fall issue. So I could really help some vegans get in shape. I hope people will check out our website. Anytime you get 15% off of anything on the site if you use the coupon code Melissa15, 1L2S's, and the Fit for Life plan is 30% off your first month with the coupon code CustomFit30. So I'd love to help people get in shape.
Terrific. Okay. And again, that website is greenlightmeals.com, greenlightmeals.com. And you can help people out personally as a personal trainer and nutritional consultant.
That's right.
Thanks so much for being with us. You've been with us every Sunday in January. So if people have missed your discussions, they are archived at goveganradio.com. Thanks for being with us today, Melissa.
Thank you, Bob. Have a great evening.
Thanks. You too. Okay. So now we head across the pond. As I was saying earlier in the program, really this weekend marks the 13th anniversary of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And hope I'm known for other things than just saying, you know, vegans are number one at number two. I mean, after all, we did inspire Go Vegan Texas to come on the air, now Vegan World Radio. And there are the weekly commentaries on KPFA Wednesday mornings. By the way, there will be a brief hiatus while Anthony Fest, the host, leaves for a few weeks, and then there's a pledge drive. So we'll take a few weeks off from the KPFA commentaries, but they are all archived also at GoVeganRadio.com. And I guess, well, we have many listeners in the UK and around London, but now it seems that London is getting its own vegan programming and the vegan option. And in fact, tomorrow, British Public Radio will present the vegan option. That is the alternative to the BBC there. So we'd like to say hi to Ian MacDonald, who is a BBC-trained radio producer, a doctor of biochemistry, and a long-term vegan. How are you today, Ian?
I'm very well. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, it's the birthday. The show is 13 years old, and this year I'm vegan for 30 years. So,
wow, you've beaten me there.
So you know you can live at least that long as a vegan, right?
one of the shows I did, I interviewed three generations of vegan, a grandma, a father, and children, all vegan.
As the way it should be. That's mm-hmm. yeah, that's the way it should be. And what a blessing it would be to be raised vegan all one's life, to be, you know, born into veganism. So
yeah. I know a few who are. Yes, so no, it's fantastic. It is fantastic because I have been doing the vegan option as an internet radio show, as a podcast for some time, to actually be able to take the training that the BBC generously gave me and apply it to something that looks at, just finds really interesting stories and looks at them from vegan perspective, stories that we might not uncover or find if we weren't looking at the world in this wonderful way that reveals the full diversity of minds behind it. And it really is a vote of confidence, not just in the vegan option, but I think in veganism, that mainstream radios like Resonance 104.4 FM, which is a radio outstation, broadcasting it on FM in London, and British Public Radio, which is the internet radio station, are saying this is just great radio that is of interest to everybody.
Right. Well, I have found my show has gotten high ratings on all of the stations that ran it, and it couldn't just be vegans listening. You know, I mean, I think this is interesting subject matter. Everybody eats. Everybody, you know, has concerns about animals one way or another, the environment. Well, veganism is about everything, right? So you can go off on so many different topics. When I first started the show, somebody said, "Well, after 2 or 3 weeks, what are you going to talk about? You'll be, you know." I haven't gotten to anything yet, you know. So what's interesting from the London perspective on radio there? And again, how can people hear the vegan option? It's on FM and also on the British Public Radio.
Well, the archive of shows is at theveganoption.org. It's on Resonance 104.4 FM at 7:30 Tuesday evenings and 7:30 Friday mornings, GMT. But I suspect most of the people listening to Go Vegan with Bob Linden will probably get it best at theveganoption.org. Mm-hmm. And of course, the shows on British Public Radio are edits of some of the shows on theveganoption.org. So really, like everybody, I suspect my instinct is to send people to my website.
right.
but there are so many. There are so many amazing stories. The medieval Arab poet who was preaching veganism and writing wonderful poetry about it 1,000 years ago. And the next show on Resonance FM, I heard you had Professor Gareth Francione on. The next show on Resonance FM is actually a look at whether we and animals will have peace on Earth, what the trends are, with Professor Francione and Professor Peter Singer.
Mm-hmm. So, that's an interesting debate between them always.
Yes, because obviously it's... I'm coming from the BBC documentary tradition. I'm trying to find all the angles, and that includes people who don't always agree with each other. And it's the same when we cover the subject of lab meat, which I'm sure you have very strong opinions about. But we talk to people who are both vegan and held very contrasting opinions about it. And actually, that's one subject where a mainstream audience is often quite curious about what vegans think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe that's why everybody listens. It's like, what do vegans think? Who are these strange people? You know, like, the ones with the high moral values who, you know, won't eat fish and chips or something, right? So, yeah. So, and you're also trying to put together, well, what you call is a history of vegetarianism, but we both know that word is really practically inflammatory these days, the word vegetarian.
Yes, it's... And actually, a lot more recent than people realize. But certainly, I want to find the deep roots of the movement and tell the story back from the mists of time when people like Pythagoras in Greece and Mahavir in India went, well, actually, maybe we shouldn't be hurting animals, and how that developed over time. So I'm running. This is the most ambitious thing I've done. It'll be there as a solid radio series with documentary values for some time. So I'm asking for people to get financially involved and crowdfund it.
Yeah, you're doing a Kickstarter for the history of vegetarianism. Although you could probably go get Rin Barry's books, and you know, just there you'll be set. You know, unfortunately, I don't know if you know Rin Barry.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
we've lost him. I know.
Yeah, very sad. Very sad. He
was somebody
away.
I wanted to talk. Yes, and he was somebody I would have loved to talk to. That's quite sad. That is obviously quite sad, but I've had a tremendous response. The Kickstarter campaign launched on Saturday. It's already. Let me just check the monitor on my computer as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
It is exactly 28% funded. So there's been a tremendous response from a bunch of people. And is that you coming up to the next junction?
Okay. Yeah, we have to. We're out of time, but we'll check in with you in the future. It's Vegan Option. The website again is
theveganoption.org.
Theveganoption.org. Best of luck with the radio show, Ian McDonald. Thanks for being with us.
Bye.
Thank you. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. We are grooving on a Sunday afternoon. We start grooving every Sunday at 5 p.m. The program goes till 7 p.m. Pacific time. We are now nationally syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network, the same people who bring you Alex Jones and Man Cow, and now Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, the first food show on the network. Do we ever talk about food on the show? I think occasionally. Right? And you can support the program with a tax-deductible donation. Go to goveganradio.com and click donate, or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147, or click donate at goveganradio.com, where there are hundreds of archived programs, and there are archived programs with my next guests, which you can hear at the website. And so today I'd like to welcome back the Barbie twins. You know the Barbie twins. Hi. Shane and Sia. How are you?
Fine. How are you? Thank you so much for having us today.
Doing great. Yeah, this is our 13th anniversary show today. 13 years on the air.
I'm so proud of you, Bob.
Thanks. I thought it would last 2 or 3 weeks and I'd get kicked off the air for having people like you on.
You are definitely the real hands-on here.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Everybody knows the Barbie twins, right? For the hottest pinups of the 90s and the record-setting cover models for Playboy magazine. And also joining us today, your friend Simone Reyes is out.
Yeah, most people would know her right now as the right-hand person of Russell Simmons, a very good friend of him. But a lot of people don't know that she's the main one that got him to go vegan and got him animal crazy like we all are. And she was a big reality star and a big 80s video star. So she's a biggie, too. But she's, to us, she's a little sister that is going to be the it girl. She's so humble and shy, but she's definitely...
Well, for being a celebrity, she actually went over to Taiji and became a co-guardian. That's why she's my hero.
Yeah, well, we just say 2 seconds of something and she's there. I said, today, can you join us on the radio? no hesitations. She's here mm-hmm. for the animals.
And even knowing it's with Bob Linden too, so that says a lot, right? So, well, thanks for being with us again, Simone, in Japan
Thank
right
you.
Now. Yeah, yeah. So, and don't be too shy. You have to, or you know,
no.
there'll be silence, right? So, and I know there won't be that. So,
no.
So
not with Shane on the phone, please.
Not with Shane.
Simone.
Right, not with Shane on the phone. So I think, you know, a lot of what you want to talk about, though, has to do with, you know, we're always blaming the corporations for what bad happens to animals, but we often don't see the complicity of government in protecting the cruelty and subsidizing the killing. And you can go anywhere with this, from wiping out horses and wild
circus. Thank you for that, you know, lead-in. Is that the reason why I needed Simone in here? Is because she started this whole thing that really got so much pressure, social media involved, where the world, I think, this time saw Taiji, the dolphin hunt in Japan, the worst ever. And it really started with her. She started poking, getting Russell Simmons to put it in Global Grind, all over the place, wherever
well,
she
no, goes. It started with Sea Shepherd, but she brought a big light.
Yeah, it started in 1986 with the Cove Guardians, but she put the light on it this year. I mean, we asked Willie Nelson's kids to pull out, and they said absolutely, you know.
At SeaWorld.
Yeah, SeaWorld. And that started the fallout with the stars. But in noticing the slaughter, and then I'll let her take over, but I'll say the correlation to what I know in horse slaughter, I'm watching it repeat itself, and a lot of people are asking me, how did I know the politics involved with the Taiji? Because it's deja vu for me, not only with the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act right down to the horse slaughter, but I'm noticing a pattern that whenever they called, just the other day they mentioned how the Taiji hunt the government called was a culture when it started in 1986. Well, they do that in Spain with the bullfights. They call that culture. I'm noticing a pattern, and also in the seal hunt. When in reality,
in Canada,
every time the government deems it culture, I always see, I cross the, connect the dots, and I see a correlation that government subsidies are behind it.
Okay, we're going to have to, we'll continue with the Barbie twins and Simone Reyes on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden after this break. Stay with us. Again, welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, and you can support the program with a tax-deductible donation. Help us pay for airtime. We want to get back on the air in New York City on WWRL and WCPT in Chicago. Both stations want us back. We were broadcasting on them when we were with Air America. But, you know, with deregulation and consolidation, we have to pay for airtime, so you can help that way. Or you can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. You can email me. It's bob@goveganradio.com. And we thank Vegetarian House for its ongoing support. Vegetarian House, 100% vegan organic restaurant in San Jose, one of the best restaurants in the world. Just go to vegetarianhouse.us and check out the menu. Just wonderful international cuisine, raw options available. And Vegetarian House is available for catering anywhere in the Bay Area, whether it's a social event, your wedding, or a corporate event. Vegetarian House will make the experience just wonderful because the food is so great. We are talking to the Barbie twins, Shane and Sia, and Simone Reyes, who's in Japan at Taiji. And before the break,
not there yet. I'm not in Japan right now.
Oh, you're not in Japan.
You came back.
You're back from Japan. Okay.
Oh yeah, she was there at the height.
I was wondering why you had such a good connection. So, in a sense, it sounded like you were tying Taiji and horse slaughter and bullfighting and the seal massacre to government subsidies.
All the Romanian dog slaughter. Behind every mass slaughter, I'm noticing a connection. There's government subsidies or some type of licensing or dolphin fisheries or subsidized fuel in the poaching boats. There's some kind of connection, because that is why government, when you ask yourself, why are the cops, because they get the orders. You can't get mad at the cops. They are given the orders to go and guard the Taiji hunt, like those are real hardcore criminals. Geez, scary. Simone was so scary. You know, we're promoting her for Playboy. And, you know, this is supposed to, they should be going after real criminals, not the Taiji people that are just filming something. You know, Paul Watson says the most powerful weapon is a camera. You betcha. But the government, that's the first thing they want to take away, is their First Amendment and any type of exposure. You see with the ag gag bill, you see it over and over. But it's only corruption. I always tell people, it's not in the corporation. They are useless without that law. Corruption is in the law that protects the corporation. And that is where our power lies. Rather than blaming the big old mean monster corporation, we have the power to be not a victim and to use our constitutional right, as long as taxes are involved, and say, you know what? My right is, I don't want my taxes paying for this, for these laws to protect these factory farms, for my health, for the cruelty, for all of that. I don't want my, I don't want wild horses slaughtered because it wastes the economy for an overseas profit. And now they're using horse filler meat. I mean, a lot of people say, what's the difference between, for those that are not vegan, they say, oh, a horse is the same as cows. And it isn't. Horses are bred for, I mean, to me, slaughter, of course it is. But to a regular citizen that has basically showed in polls and voted, horses are not bred for meat. The horse slaughter plants are awful. Actually, we have a temporary ban. It's still legal, by the way. It's just a ban of inspections, which will be 1 year. People keep thinking it's illegal. It has always been legal. It will always be legal until we pass what's called the Safeguard Act, now on its 11th year.
Horse slaughter is legal. You're saying horse slaughter has been and always been, will be legal.
Yeah, until we pass a law to make it illegal. This media is very misconstruing and dangerous to say that it's now illegal. It is not illegal. They just put it, all they did was take the language out to defund the inspection. So the USDA, which is useless, and you know this because of my video, Bob, they just lifted the endangered species of the gray wolf so that people would love to say hunters are bad and all this. But what makes it even worse, the biggest killer, is when the machine of the government allows the endangered wolves to be shot. And there's no protection for these poor little, they're actually being gassed in dens, the baby wolves. And why is this? For votes. People have got to step back and look at the politics and watch the path of where, what administration is being funded by what. What, you know, if an administration needs a lot of taxes, let's say for Obamacare, what taxes are funding this program, you know, the Obamacare, and how are they paying for this? Well, horse slaughter was one of the very first things that was actually going to be a tax cut on an administration that, you know, most liberals wouldn't vote for, but I would vote for, just because I want to see I'm more interested in not what someone does personally. I'm more interested in an administration that allows me the freedom to protest. We'll get away from that Patriot Act, which gave birth to the Animal Enterprise Act, that will not back the National Defense Authorization.
You connected Huntington Life Sciences to the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, didn't you?
Yeah. First of all, the Patriot Act, you know, Bush did after 9/11. Very big government. I don't know what a You know, of course, that's a lie that they say that they don't want big government, and there he does the biggest government. It is an excuse to spy on us for votes. Let's be honest, both sides do it. But what it did is it gave birth to, and that happened in 1993 or whatever, when the Animal Enterprise Protection Act was there. And it changed to the Terrorism Act in 2006 because I was explaining to you, Bob, is Huntington Life Science was a corporation doing very well, no need of government. They only come crawling to the government when they were being exposed by Shaq 7 with the profits. Then they came crawling to, ironically, Dianne Feinstein and some other representatives and said, we need help. Just like the exposing of the HSUS did on the farms, of showing the cruelty. They want to be by themselves. They don't want to give a piece of pie to the government until they are failing somewhere. It's like asking for a bailout. Then they want to give a piece of pie to say, give me a law to protect me so I can continue my cruelty and exploiting. And they get a deal that is unstoppable. It's worse. It's like a tyrant. And there's nothing you can do except by voting. You know, I used to glamorize the idea of just being a rebel and bombing everything. I'm not there anymore, so FBI can lay off. The thing where I see is the most powerful thing that we don't, and, you know, lobbyists keep saying this in D.C., that we don't exercise, is our laws. Martin Luther King said, I want little government, but I still want a law to protect the dolphins, the horse, any of that stuff. And, well, you know, dolphin meat is not acceptable to the Japanese, just like the Japanese liking dolphin slaughter is as much as Americans want wild horse slaughter. We both don't want it, but governments are so powerful and do things almost like on an executive order, and most of us don't understand politics, that we're finally connecting the dots with not only that Solyndra was the green companies and the solar power that Reed was promoting was connected to the wild horse deal and a deal to slaughter all the wildlife over there, including the wolves.
Wait. We might need a little clarification on that. So, Solyndra, yeah. the solar company. And you had an explosive expose on the USDA, clearing the land. I'm going to have Lester Friedman on last week from the USDA.
For anyone that believes that they'll enforce anything, they never have enough money or manpower. They're always screaming for money. And the fact that they can even allow the endangered species of gray wolves to be lifted for the ranchers' votes for the current administration. We won't mention names. But that's how politics are.
And they're using illegal chemicals. I mean, it's really something. How can people see that video with the whistleblowing former USDA people out there?
No one wanted to pick that up. That was scary. And thank you for looking at that. What was scarier is how no one wanted to touch that because they're all embedded, whether it's in the deal or they're blindly following administration. And damn it, I keep my principles before my parties, and I keep my principles before anything. I will vote for whatever administration does the least killing, allows me to protest, because animals come first in my life. It's just my right. You can call me a freak, whatever you want. But I want the liberty to be that freak.
Yeah, I've asked Lester Friedlander. I asked Lester Friedlander, the USDA whistleblower, to look at that video and talk about it on the program next week, which he will do here next week. But fill us in on the Solyndra, the solar and the effects on horses and wildlife being cleared out for solar energy.
That actually happened in 2004, and it was Nixon that actually never got credit for it. But he, after the Misfits, he did a wild horse protection bill in 1971. And we protected our wild horses. Well, then came in all the ranchers and all that. And what little did they know that the Bureau of Land Management was a bunch of ranchers and oilmen and
cattlemen.
Yeah, it was a conflict of interest, cattlemen. So they were kind of making deals. And these were friends and pals of Salazar, you know, the ex-Bureau of Land Department of Interior head, as well as Senator Reed. He runs a solar plant company, and he basically wanted to bring, who doesn't want green energy and clean air? It sounds good. You sell it to voters and they will vote for you. So this was this was something that I'm sure they wanted to take off, and they got together with Obama and he had the voters and all that. But in that deal, it was 10, something outrageous, 10 billion, 10 million, it's all the same to me, to wipe out, keep wiping out the wildlife and the wild horses in Nevada, where 80% of the wild horses are, to make it clear for the land for that green company. And even when it failed and they collected all that bankruptcy money, which they apparently planned on, they kept getting this money to do that. And what people are telling me that take these videos is that everything's hidden with the wild horses. That, well, the main explosive thing is that during the Obama debate is how Salazar went to threaten a reporter, a wild horse reporter.
Well, hold that thought. Shane, okay. Barbie, we're talking to the Barbie twins and Simone Reyes on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. If you missed any of our discussion, the program's archived at goveganradio.com. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio. We're talking to the Barbie twins, Shane and Sia, and Simone Reyes. And we were talking, well, what it seems to be is that the real danger to animals comes when... Right. So, but we were talking about really this clearing of the land of horses and wildlife for solar industry.
Anything in the way.
Yeah, for solar, for ranching, for oil, and really horrendous what's being done to the animals, which we'll discuss next. Oh, in fact, I'll send around your video, your USDA revelations with these whistleblowers. I'll send it around on Facebook and Twitter.
Simone's asking me how to tell people, and this is so true. I hate to make people feel helpless. What do you do? I hate to say it's a done deal because, you know, the voters voted and they got their way. And you could see it. It was explosive because during the election, Salazar went to threaten a wild horse reporter that was going to expose the dirty little deal that was made. It wasn't about horses. So you can't get mad at Obama that he hates horses. It was a much bigger deal. And that's why people have to learn politics. Because honestly, animals are on the totem pole on the very bottom of any political deal. They're thinking about Obamacare, IRS, Benghazi, Korea. They're not thinking about any animals. It may look nice when they talk about global warming and stuff, but in the bigger plot, when you're talking about taxes and deals and special interests, which are on both sides, the only thing to do is, A, start with campaign reforms where you get zero money, if that could ever happen, or, B, do what Al Gore said. Tell a representative what you want, because they don't care about anything except for that vote, and tell them if you don't, you will vote for the opposite administration. We have in the House, in Congress, a bill, the Safeguard Act, which is on its 11th year. Very few people know this, but, well, they do this year. They think it's the first year or last year. It's not. It's the 11th year. It keeps being recalled something else. Most people actually now think that the horse slaughter is illegal now because of these temporary bans. And it's only a ban on the inspections. It has not made horse slaughter illegal. It has not made transportation to Mexico and Canada for horse slaughter illegal. If we could make this illegal, it sure would cripple up even the wild horse slaughter because those roundups are expensive. And no one, and this BS about horses populating, yeah, right. The cattle, you know, triples the amount of population over the horses.
And they hurt the turf that much more.
Yeah, and they actually help out the fires, eating the full root of the grass and everything. But going back to what Salazar did, that shows that was all about, it was a part of a bigger game, a plan, and a vote that was done. redid what was called the Byrne Rider Act in 2004 so he could have the solar power, so he could have the land for solar companies. So he had that connection to bring to Obama, who, and they happened to be pals. So that worked out really well for the election. And obviously it was explosive because Salazar was caught threatening this guy's life, who was an Obama guy, but he ran over to Fox because the left certainly didn't want to hear it. And, you know, exploded everything. And it just, it's frustrating because the conservatives think it's a liberal thing to talk about animals, and the liberals think the government's some benevolent, wonderful, just because they're liberal, that they're going to take care of horses. And it's not that way. It's up to us to make sure that these representatives who can't think about animals, you really, they got the world on their shoulders, that we make them think about animals, or we make them think that they're not going to get our vote. And that is the most powerful thing. We're wanted to hand this over to very knowledgeable Simone, who's very hands-on with Taiji, is that there is a connection with, you know, the dolphin meat and the horse filling meat. They fill, they use all the government loves to use, you know, fillers as you know, not
but
only
they don't tell us about it. It's very sneaky.
Yeah, whether it's toxic horse meat that has all the drugs of butazole in and all that, or dolphin meat. And
with the mercury in it.
And the connection there in Taiji, because a lot of people are blaming the Japanese, but again, it's just like the government's behind this. I saw the connection a long time ago, and the connection is that the government museum, where the little albino dolphin that...
It's the whale museum in Taiji.
Is government-owned, but there's a whole connection. And Simone, you want to take over with that?
You know, we're we've just run out of time.
You're kidding.
No. Well, you know what? Stay with us through the break, and Professor Gary Francione will be coming up. Also, we'll spend maybe just a few minutes together after the break. We'll continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. On Twitter, at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. In just a few minutes, we'll have animal rights commentary with Professor Gary Francione as the time flies by. I just want to mention that Southern California is quite fortunate to have two vegan grocery stores, one in Rancho Cucamonga and the other in Santa Monica. They are Viva La Vegan Grocery in Rancho Cucamonga, over 6,000 items, everything vegan in Santa Monica on Ocean Park and 28th. VivaLaVeganGrocery.com. So, gosh, see, time flies when you're on the radio, right? So we're talking to the Barbie twins and Simone Reyes. And we were just, Simone, were you about to talk about Taiji there? Was that the...
Well, I just think it's, you know, very quickly, right now we have, as activists and people who care about any kind of suffering in the world, dolphins in particular, right now the entire world has their eyes on Taiji. They had their eyes on Taiji when the cove was released, but this, I would say, is even bigger. Because when the 250-plus dolphins were driven into the cove and kept there for 4 days, and on the fifth day, you know, 52 were taken captive, 41 killed, between 130 to 140 driven out to sea where they will most likely have died later because they were starved for that entire time. They were injured, and they were separated from their families. Everybody knows that baby dolphins and young dolphins cannot survive without their mothers. So right now, we have Caroline Kennedy, the new ambassador to Japan, tweeting that she has concerns over it being inhumane to drive these dolphins into the cove and kill them. And you have almost every major celebrity tweeting about it and Facebooking it. So right now we have a window to actually stop the drives in Taiji. And the biggest thing that people can do other than going to the Sea Shepherd website and writing their letters and signing their petitions is to stop buying tickets to marine parks. Taiji is ground zero for the captive trade. If there is no demand, these drives will stop. So that's really the long story short of it. I mean, you know, if they go on SeaShepherd.org, they can see the kills themselves. They can see the drives themselves. They can see the white dolphin that's now at the Whale Museum, where she hardly ever surfaces. We have photographs of her. She does not have her mother. Her mother is dead. And it's a horror show. But thank God for Sea Shepherd, because we have all the videos and all of the photographs that are showing the world what is everyday, normal life in Taiji during the killing season.
Today we save the dolphins, tomorrow cows, pigs, and chickens. And it's very strange that an official in Japan was saying this year they're doing humane slaughter of the dolphins.
No way.
Yeah, I know. Well,
as if.
But you know, there's always that humane word that comes up to assuage the public. But
like to volunteer to be killed in that way,
right? Exactly. They said they're cutting their spinal cords this year so they don't bleed, so it's a lot more humane. So it's always crazy
so
that way.
Bleeding. Of course they're bleeding. They're bleeding out, and they're then corking where their wounds are so that we won't get the pictures of the entire sea being red like they did in the cove. However, there's so much bloodshed that no matter how much corking they do, we still have the footage. The cove, when there's a killing day, which is basically every day during the season, the cove runs red.
Sure. Yeah, that's really quite shocking. I did a commentary on that on KPFA last week, which people can hear at goveganradio.com. So I'd like to thank you for being with us today, the Barbie
thank
twins,
you.
Shane and Sia and Simone
thank
Reyes.
You
thanks
so
for,
much.
Thanks for coming on, and let's...
Thank you.
Let's save the animals. Let's stop eating them and wearing them.
And wild horses, and say no more marine parks in our area.
sounds good to me. No more use of animals.
That's right.
Okay. Thanks for being with us today. We continue now on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden with animal rights commentary with Professor Gary Francione of Rutgers University, the first academic to teach animal rights theory in an American law school. And how are you today, Professor Francione? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Gary. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I couldn't hear you for a second there, so...
Oh, okay, fine.
I
was just listening to that last segment, and it sort of is related to what I wanted to talk about tonight, which is this idea of these petitions that are going around. But let me just preface my remarks by saying I was just hearing about the dolphin slaughter in Japan, and I have to say, obviously, it's horrible. But what I don't understand is... what the difference is between what's happening in Japan and what's going on, 2 miles from where most of the people in this country are living, who are protesting this. There's horrible slaughter of millions of animals going on every single week. And I don't really understand what, I certainly think what's happening in Japan is horrible. I've been horrified to see some of the racist, ethnocentric, xenophobic comments that I've seen about how the Japanese are supposedly so barbaric. And I wonder, the people who make those comments, whether they've ever seen a chicken slaughterhouse in the United States approved by the United States Department of Agriculture, or a cow slaughterhouse or a pig slaughterhouse. But we hear all of this stuff about how the Japanese are so barbaric, et cetera, et cetera. And what I don't understand is, the Japanese are responding quite interestingly and makes quite common sense to say, hey, wait a minute. What are you pointing your fingers at us for? You're killing zillions of cows and pigs and chickens and whatnot, and we're doing it humanely. Well, I want to know something. How is that any different? How is that any different from HSUS being on the board of the Global Animal Partnership and having HSUS and PETA and Mercy for Animals and Compassion Over Killing promoting praising Whole Foods for having the animal welfare rating system? How is that any different? These people are killing dolphins. They say they're doing it humanely. I think that's nonsense. But I also think the animal welfare partnership and the claims that Whole Foods is doing this humanely are nonsense, and I don't really understand the difference. So somebody needs to educate me on this, because obviously I'm missing something. What is it?
No, no, no. There's no difference. The thing is, we need to be against all of this and make the connections. And you're right. HSUS right now is sponsoring the Southwestern Sustainable Livestock Conference. You know, and we talked about Mercy for Animals for the past couple of weeks, how it's supporting new animal research and expanding methods of killing piglets. And it's all wrong. So, but if we can, you know, sometimes grab people's imagination, the blood-red waters there of Taiji, well, maybe we can think of what's running down their chins as they eat a hamburger.
You know the blood. You're only going to do that if you make the connection explicit. Because if what you're doing is talking about dolphins, I don't know anybody who eats dolphins.
Right.
I don't know. I know lots of people who eat meat. I know lots of people who eat dairy. Lots of people who eat eggs. I don't know anybody who is directly involved in the exploitation of dolphins. It's one of these things that anybody can get involved with and feel good and pat themselves on the back for being a compassionate person, okay? But it doesn't require any change in their lives.
And then go eat a hamburger and talk about what they did, right?
Exactly. So. This is the thing that just drives me nuts.
But that's why I like to make a direct connection. I like to bring whatever's in public view. I like to connect it to the vegan issue, though. You know, I mean, I think
ever since I wrote Rain Without Thunder in 1996, I don't like single issue campaigns because I think that I don't think that they work, and I think the history of single issue campaigns is the history of failure. But I don't like them. But if you're going to do them, at least make it clear that you're attacking this piece of animal exploitation as part of your overall attack on all animal exploitation and connecting it with the vegan issue. Because,
yes.
You know, frankly, talking about, you know, wild horses or dolphins or, you know, whatever. I mean, another thing, I mean, actually, this the topic I wanted to talk about, which is related to this, is, I'm on Facebook with the Abolitionist Approach to Animal Rights. We've got a very interesting discussion community, about 40,000 people, and we have a lot of interesting, lively discussions going on there. And I am constantly being flooded by these petitions. You know,
So am I.
Yeah, we've gone from animal activism being write a check to a large animal welfare corporation. That's what activism has become. Now it's write a check to a large animal welfare corporation and sign a petition. An incredibly ineffective way of doing anything. So one of these petitions I got was, let's protest Michael Vick. He's being invited by the Chamber of Commerce of Raleigh, North Carolina, to speak, and people wanted to get rid of, they don't want him to be the speaker. And I simply pointed out, that's ridiculous. I don't like what Michael Vick did, but what Michael Vick did is no different from what any non-vegan does. Anybody, I mean, if you're over the age of 4 or 5 years old, you know that animal foods don't grow on trees or bushes. You know, even if you don't know the details, you know that animal foods come from animals and that animals suffer and die. You may not know the details, you may know the details, okay? But you know that animals suffer and die for you to eat them. So if you are eating them and you don't need to, as we do not need to eat them, then you're participating in the suffering and death of animals because you have the palate pleasure, you experience the palate pleasure of eating them. Well, you know what? That's no different from Michael Vick. He likes sitting around watching the dogs fight. We like sitting around roasting the corpses of animals that have had lives and deaths every bit as bad as Vick's dogs. So I simply pointed that out, and there was a number of people got very upset with me about this and said, oh, no, he was a bad guy. He's a bad guy. And I said, oh, yeah, what he did was really horrible. But let me ask you, do you feel the same way about your friends and relatives who are not vegan? And people got very, very, very upset. And I said, look, they're going to be serving animals at the Greater Raleigh Chamber of Commerce dinner. They're going to be serving animals. What are we talking about here? I mean, why is Vic any worse than these people who are eating the animals? And why is what he did any worse than these celebrations where dead animals are served? I just don't see. I mean, this is the problem. We have We're not thinking clearly about these issues.
Okay, hang on. Stay with us. We have a break coming up. We'll continue with Professor Gary Francione on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And you can support us with a donation. Help us get back on the air in New York and Chicago. Click donate at goveganradio.com. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We are talking to Professor Gary Francione, who joins us every week for animal rights commentary. And I invite you to listen to my commentary on KPFA's Morning Mix this past Wednesday, which was the 15th. And I sort of had a discussion of this. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it, Gary, but bridging the gap between looking at Taiji and then trying to translate that to, you know, what we cause in animal suffering. You know, we look at the hundreds of dolphins in Taiji and then don't think about the billions of chickens and cows and pigs. And sometimes I look at these as like gateway protests where we can take it and connect dots to veganism.
Yeah, but Bob, you know, we've had these single issue campaigns. I don't know, you know, I've been kicking around for three decades, and you've been around for a long time as well. And you know, I remember when I first got involved in the movement, the big issue was the anti-fur campaign. It was going on before I got involved. It's going on now to this day. It's been going on for the 32 years I've been involved. And you know what? Fur industry is bigger than it's ever been, more powerful than it's ever been, and people are wearing fur in places where they never wore it before. In terms of in the streets of London, you didn't see fur in the 1970s. Now you see it all over the place. Bottom line is, single issue campaigns don't work. Nothing changes until people go vegan. Once people go vegan, everything changes. But I have two comments I want to make. Number one, I've been mystified by the comments I've got, sometimes very hostile comments, about the fact that there's a big difference between the dolphins in Taiji and the farm animals. The idea that dolphins are wild animals and these other animals are owned and they're domesticated. For animal people to be making that argument, it is shameful and indicates that these people have no idea what they're talking about and are thoroughly confused. As far as morality is concerned, it doesn't matter whether the animal is wild or whether the animal is owned. It is a sentient being. It has a right not to be treated as property. That animal, he or she has a right not to be treated as property. And the idea that dolphins matter more morally is outrageous. But the second point I want to make is, when you have the Japanese doing this and they're saying, we're doing it humanely, and we've got the animal people in the United States jumping up and down. Well, let me tell you something, animal people in the United States, take a look at all of the organizations that you people belong to and support, and they are promoting the same thing. They are promoting happy exploitation very explicitly. Some of them actually even have their own labeling programs that they sponsor and that they promote. But they're all promoting it, whether they're promoting it in terms of the Whole Foods Animal Welfare Partnership, or whether it's the HSUS Humane Choice label, or whether it's the RSPCA Freedom Food label, whatever it is. These organizations are doing the same thing. They're promoting happy exploitation. So tell me, on what moral ground are we standing when we say to the Japanese, oh, well, we don't believe that you're doing it humanely? Well, you know what? I make the same claim about Whole Foods. I make the same claim about all of these happy exploitation programs. I think it's nonsense. Why are animal people supporting those here, but the Japanese can't make similar claims? It is complete confusion. I have never seen such confusion. It's the animal confusion movement. Let's stop calling it the animal rights movement, because it has nothing to do with animal rights. When you have animal people jumping up and down saying dolphins matter more, we're not going to connect it with veganism because it's different. It's different. because dolphins are different. They are more morally valuable. I mean, you know, I saw another campaign that's going on where we're supposed to be boycotting Canadian seafood so they stop killing seals. So don't eat Canadian seafood. Eat the seafood of other countries. Eat the sea animals that are killed from by other countries, because we want to stop the Japanese from or the Canadians from killing the baby seals because they are so cute. Not, you know, they're much cuter than fish. So I'm sorry. This is not an animal rights movement. It's an animal confusion movement. It's pathetic.
With an exclamation point with what's happening with Mercy for Animals, as you said, this new low. I mean, I can't stop, you know, really examining this one, and as we will in the weeks ahead. So
we'll pick it up next week, Bob.
Thank you so much, Professor Gary Francione, making it so interesting for us every week here on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week. Love animals. Don't eat them. Wear them. Don't buy products that are experimented upon them. Don't attend animal entertainment. Go vegan.